Welcome to Truth for Today. We have a standalone Christmas talk for you today. Our speaker is Stephen Thompson.
Well, today is the last Sunday before Christmas. We've almost reached the big day. Have you got everything organised, or is there still some last minute shopping to be done? Christmas is a wonderful time for most, but I know for some it is sad and lonely. For some, the stress levels go through the roof as they worry about getting everything just right, and you have to wonder sometimes if we have lost sight of what it's all about. The clue is in the word Christmas. It's supposed to be about Christ. Some years ago, someone coined the phrase, "Jesus is the reason for the season." Let us remember that this Christmas. If I was to ask you what the best thing about Christmas is, I guess I would get many different answers. However, if I asked children the same question, I know that receiving presents would almost certainly be top of the list. I'm not sure, but I expect the giving of gifts predates St. Nicholas or Santa Claus and has its root in the Christmas story itself, with the wise men who offered gifts to the young child Jesus Christ. In our talk today, I want to focus our thoughts on these wise men, or more exactly, the gifts they brought to Jesus. In the Gospels, we read three times of wise people. In fact, they are all found in Matthew's Gospel. First, in chapter 2, we read about the wise men who searched for Jesus. Then in chapter 7, we read about the wise man who built his house upon the rock. And finally, we read in chapter 25 about the wise virgins or maidens who waited for the bridegroom. Now that's a message in itself. Wise people seek Jesus, build their lives on Jesus, and wait for the return of Jesus. Let us be amongst the wise. Perhaps you will have been at a nativity play, or intend going to one in the next day or so. You will have seen baby Jesus cradled in a manger, with Joseph and Mary taking care of him. You'll have sung about the cattle lowing. Let us pause for a moment and think of the fact that the Son of God was born in such humble surroundings. The Creator of all things, and the one who upholds all things by the word of his power, became flesh and was born in a cattle shed because there was no room in the inns of Bethlehem. We are all familiar with the story in Luke's Gospel of the angels who rejoiced, saying, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." That was spoken to the shepherds, and they were first on the scene at the birth of the Saviour. After the shepherds, it was a turn of the wise men. The three kings with their crowns and fine costumes, bearing their gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. I remember one year at our school nativity play, there were five kings to give everyone a part in the play, but really the Bible doesn't tell us how many there were. Nor did they find the baby in the manger, as the shepherds did, but they found the child in a house. See Matthew chapter 2 verse 11. If we read the story carefully and take account of the response of King Herod, we would conclude that the wise men came weeks or even months after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read the story from the Gospel by Matthew, and then consider briefly who were these wise men and what we can learn from the gifts they brought. Matthew chapter 1 verse 18 to chapter 2 verse 12. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not least amongst the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, Go, and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. What wonderful verses! How often we think about his name, Jesus, meaning Jehovah the Saviour, and Emmanuel, meaning God with us. In these two names, we have two wonderful truths declared. That Jesus was a true man, but that he never ceased to be God. I think Charles Wesley states this beautifully in his carol, Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. So who were these wise men or magi who travelled from the east following the star? Well, not much is known about them. They would have been Gentiles, non-Jews. Perhaps an early proof that the child born was not only to be the King of the Jews, but the Saviour of the world. They would have been very clever men. Some believe they were astrologers, and obviously their interest in the star brought them to Jerusalem. I rather think, though, that they were divinely instructed to come and worship the newborn king. They may have studied the prophecies of the Old Testament, and their understanding was in stark contrast to the unbelief of the Jewish nation and their religious leaders, who could quote the scriptures but seemed unaware of what was happening at this time. Their arrival certainly caused a stir. Herod and all Jerusalem were troubled at the thought of a rival king. Herod's words were noble. He wanted the wise men to tell him where the child was so he could also come and worship, but his intentions were evil. Being warned of God, the wise men went home another way, and Herod's evil plans were dashed. So great was Herod's fury that he proceeded to slaughter all the male children in the region of Bethlehem, who were 2 years old and under. What an awful thing to do, and what grief there must have been in Bethlehem at that time. So these wise men found the child and fell down and worshipped him, presenting their gifts. These were very valuable. In fact, they are described as treasures. The Lord Jesus Christ was born into a poor family, and very soon after the visit of the Magi, Joseph and Mary would have to flee to Egypt in fear of Herod, who was determined to kill the child Jesus. I have no doubt that these gifts were sold and the money used to pay for the costs of this journey and the expenses the family would have in Egypt. At Christmas time, we go to great lengths to try and make sure we give the right gifts to those we love. Perhaps we've been listening for weeks to catch the odd hint given to steer us in the right direction. It's always good when the gift we give is just what was wanted. I believe in the same way, great care was taken in relation to the gifts the wise men gave. Furthermore, I believe that their choice of gifts was guided by God Himself. The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh would instruct us, and I would like us now to consider each of these in turn. The gold. Gold is a very precious metal, and its value is very stable. Gold is first mentioned in the Bible in the book of Genesis, but much more in Exodus in the time of Moses, when gold was used extensively in the tabernacle of God in the wilderness. In chapter 25, you will read that gold is at the top of the list of things which the people of Israel were to contribute so that the tabernacle could be made according to the pattern which God gave to Moses. The instructions were first given for the furniture of the sanctuary, the Ark of the Covenant, the table of showbread, the golden lampstand, and the altar of incense, all to be made or overlaid with pure gold. Most Bible teachers would agree that gold speaks of God and His deity. It would also speak of divine righteousness. The mercy seat described in Exodus chapter 25, verse 17, which was really the lid of the ark, would clearly speak of this. The blood sprinkled before and on the mercy seat was the only way that atonement could be made for the sins of the people. You see, we cannot think of the Christmas story independently of the Easter story. The child born in the narratives of Matthew and Luke is the son who is given in John's account. Why was the son given? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John chapter 3, verse 16. As the hymn writer so wonderfully puts it, this Saviour is the mighty God, the God of heaven above. Revealed in flesh, he shed his blood, blessed proof of endless love. So the gold would instruct us that although God became man in the person of the Son never ceased to be God. This shines through in the Gospels, and that Jesus is God is fundamental to the Christian faith. Not that he was a God, but that he was God. John chapter 1, verse 1. the signs recorded in John's Gospel, the water turned to wine, the sick and lame healed, the multitudes fed, the storms calmed, the blind made to see and the dead raised, are all recorded so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. John chapter 20, verse 31. I have no doubt that this is the lesson which God intended us to learn by these wise men presenting gold to the Lord Jesus Christ at his birth. The frankincense. Frankincense is a resin or gum which exudes through the leaves, twigs and bark of the Boswellia tree. It is fragrant, and when it is burned, the aroma is very pleasant. Frankincense is first mentioned in the scriptures in Exodus chapter 30, verse 34, where we read it formed part of the incense which the priests used in the tabernacle. However, we read much more of frankincense in Leviticus chapter 2 in relation to the meal offering. Now, the meal offering is without blood, and I think Bible scholars would readily agree that it is a type or picture of the perfect life of Christ which ascended to God in worship. In the meal offering, the Lord Jesus Christ is viewed as fine flour, no roughness or unevenness in his perfect manhood. The fine flour was both mingled and anointed with oil, which is a type of the Holy Spirit. It has often been noted that both honey and leaven were not to be included in the meal offering. Honey would speak of natural sweetness, and leaven always speaks of evil. Neither were to be seen in the person of the Christ. But the frankincense was to be burned together with the meal offering. This offering was a voluntary offering, a sweet savour offering to God, and it typified the perfect, sinless life of the Lord Jesus Christ lived in this world, which ascended to God in acceptable worship. At the beginning of his public ministry, as he was being baptized by John in the River Jordan, the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and the Father's voice was heard saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." Luke chapter 3, verse 22. Although we know little of the so-called silent years of our Lord's life, there was obviously that which ascended to the Father as a sweet savour. The hymn writer says of the Lord Jesus Christ, "In thee all human graces blend, and to thy Father e'er ascend as incense rare. Fragrant to him thou ever art, source of rejoicing to his heart most sweet and fair." Never before had there been a perfect life lived in this world. Just think of the pleasure this must have brought to the heart of the Father to see his beloved Son live that life. Even those who were the enemies of Jesus had to marvel at the words he spoke. On one occasion they exclaimed, "Never man spake like this man." In every thought, action and word, that which was typified in the incense of the tabernacle and the sweet savour of the meal offering ascended to God. I have no doubt that the value of the perfect life of his Son is what God intended us to learn by these wise men presenting frankincense to the Lord Jesus Christ at his birth. The myrrh. Myrrh is an aromatic resin which comes from the Commiphora abyssinica bush. The gum distills in tear-shaped nodules and is bitter, yet with a sweet fragrance. In Exodus chapter 30, verses 22 to 33, we read about the holy anointing oil used to anoint the furniture of the tabernacle, as well as the priests, Aaron and his son. Although myrrh was the chief ingredient in the holy anointing oil, it was not to be mixed in the incense. The word mara, meaning bitter, comes from the word myrrh, and the Greek for myrrh is Smyrna, which is the name of the suffering church of Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. We also read of myrrh at the Lord's crucifixion, where it was offered, mixed with wine, as a stupefying drink to alleviate the pain, but he refused it. Afterwards, Nicodemus brought the mixture of myrrh and aloes to prepare the Lord's body for burial. I think most Bible scholars would agree that myrrh would speak of suffering and death. We have already stated that we should not view the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ independently, but remember why he was born. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. How was he to do this? By dying on the cross of Calvary. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ is also fundamental to the Christian faith. We simply cannot do without it. There is no salvation apart from it. The cross of Christ is the righteous basis on which God can forgive our sins and bless us according to his heart of love. As we have considered, this was typified in the tabernacle, with everything being anointed with the holy anointing oil. But what about the sweet odour? Well, even in the suffering which the Lord Jesus went through, there was that which ascended to God and brought pleasure to him. All through his life, as he suffered for righteousness' sake, there was that fragrance for God. As he hung upon the cross, suffering the most horrendous physical pain, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And greater still were the vicarious sufferings, that is, suffering for our sins, which were unseen by men, but brought glory to God. There, in those hours of darkness on the cross, the holy, sinless Son of God gave a very full answer to the sin question, and as a result, God's mercy and grace flows out to us who believe. The early church at Smyrna suffered terribly, just as many Christians overseas do today. What comfort it is to know that God takes full account of the suffering of his people. The fragrance of the myrrh ascends to him. I have no doubt that the value of the suffering and death of his Son is what God intended us to learn by these wise men presenting myrrh to the Lord Jesus Christ at his birth. So may we all learn the lessons of these wise men and their gifts, and may God bless you all this Christmas.